Coming up this half hour, why do dogs circle before they lay down? We'll get some interesting answers about that and other compelling dog questions. We'll get pet grooming tips from the ASPCA and a lot more in this episode for dog and cat parents. We'll start with this from Melvin Pena at Dogster. Why do dogs dig in their beds? Circling, scratching, and digging are all things dogs do before settling into bed. Are these dog nesting behaviors instinctive? Recently, I found a thick throw rug at a thrift store. I thought it looked like a warm bit of bedding that my dog could use for her nesting. I draped it over her two other blankets and carefully tucked it to conform to the shape of her bed. Next time I went to visit her, she removed the new cover, dragged it halfway across the room, and left it there. I found her curled up, sleeping on her older quilts. I don't know about you, but I have any number of pre-sleep rituals myself. Many of them have become so habitual that they now border on instinct. For instance, no matter the temperature, I have sheets and blankets that have to be in a certain layer order. If I happen to be away from home, I always wake up earlier than I do when I'm in my own bed. Comfort makes a difference to my sleeping ability and quality. Do our dogs observe similar bedtime rituals? Let's answer some questions about dog nesting behavior, including, why do dogs circle before they lay down? Why do dogs scratch the floor? And why do dogs dig in their bed? Why do dogs walk in circles before lying down? Sometimes, her turning radius is as tight as her 3x2 foot dog bed in winter, and others as broad as a spot against the fence outside in the summertime. Regardless of what time of year, it never ceases to fascinate me when I watch my dog circumnavigate her chosen sleeping spot. What motivates her to spin about before coming to rest? Like my own idiosyncratic pre-sleep rituals, walking in circles establishes a dog's comfort in a few different ways. Long before dogs could nestle in their beds or had proper dog beds of their own, circling was a means of establishing both safety and comfort. In nature, circling a chosen spot is one method dogs employ to ensure the exclusivity of their sleeping place. Trampling about on high grasses or leaves creates sufficient disturbance to drive out any creatures that may be hiding there, such as the odd snake, rodent, or insect. Circling is also a security measure. A dog's paw pads have a couple of little-known or heralded features. They are one of the few surface areas on a dog's body that have sweat glands. More germane to the matter at hand, dog paws also feature scent glands. Taking a few turns around a favored sleeping area, be it a spot of earth or a proper bed, effectively marks it with a dog scent. If you've ever seen an old Western film where a group of pioneers circle the wagons, dog circling may perform a similar defensive function. Doing so allows a dog to survey his spot before settling in. Why do dogs scratch the floor? This question has a number of variants. One of the most popular and confounding to owners of indoor dogs is, why do dogs scratch the carpet? It's a question that's perplexed humans forever. The dog is inside, after all. The surface she's scratching at, whether it's carpet, tile, or hardwood, is not a malleable material. We get frustrated because the carpet gets torn or mangled, and those other surfaces may need polishing or buffing, or worse yet, retain claw marks. Cat owners, their pets give their cats cat trees and scratching posts, but few such provisions exist for our puppies and dogs. Some breeds or types of dogs, terriers and hounds among them, are accustomed to digging and burrowing, whether for prey, security, or scent discovery. If your dog is the burrowing sort, but spends the vast majority of her time alone and indoors, she's being denied part of her fundamental identity. Giving her more outdoor time in the yard or at the dog park may help her fulfill a basic need. Dogs who scratch at the carpet may do so as part of sleep preparation. Dogs do not care about the aesthetic integrity of your home furnishings. As with turning or circling, scratching serves a number of practical purposes, at least one of which is sleep-related. It may be part of the instinctive bedtime ritual associated with her favored resting spot. Circling several times imbues a place with the dog scent. Scratching may serve a similar function, physically marking and claiming a spot. Dogs are just as much creatures of habit as we are. I've seen my own dogs rehearse the entire pattern. Scratch, circle, and rest. Why do dogs dig at their beds? Digging, like scratching, is another pre-sleep habit that dog owners notice. There is another habit or behavior that cat owners are accustomed to, even if they're just as clueless as to the rationale behind it. The feline equivalent of digging in bed is kneading. Just as dogs scratch and dig to establish a comfort zone, heedless of the effect it will have on your couch, bed, or carpet, cats knead at their resting spots, even if it means puncturing your leg in the process. As much as the amateur horticulturists among us tut and cluck about it, a dog digging up the garden is understandable. After all, the earth is pliable and a dog can dig until she's satisfied. Surely, dogs can differentiate between the ground outside and your favorite comforter, your bed, or the floor of her own crate. The material makeup of the dog's bed is of less consequence than the action. Where sleep is concerned, digging into bed can be habitual and instinctive or related to temperature. In nature, digging at beds serves as a method of extreme temperature control. Because dogs have limited sweat glands, when it is very hot outside, dogs may dig nests, exposing a greater surface area of their bodies to cool earth. In cold weather, curling up in a self-fashioned pit helps to concentrate available body heat. Does your dog circle, scratch, or dig on his bed or near his bed? After doing the research for this essay, I realized why my own dog ditched her new blanket in favor of her ratty and well-worn nesting materials. It's precisely because the old ones are ratty and well-worn. I've seen her circle over them and trample them underfoot countless times. I've seen her scratch at them with her claws and dig into them repeatedly. Effectively, she's marked these things enough to have established them as her bedding. My disappointment at my dog dragging the new warm blanket is not her problem. It is a foreign element that intruded itself upon her comfort zone. After she's rent that new one with her mouth, torn at it with her claws, and endowed it with her own peculiar smells, it will be fit for use. Next. How have your pets been looking lately? Are they a little ragged around the edges? Maybe those nails need a pedicure because you can't get to the groomer? Here's some at-home pet grooming tips, top tips, and recommendations from the ASPCA. With many businesses closed during the COVID-19 pandemic and most of us spending our time indoors or at home, pet parents are looking for new ways to keep their furry friends safe, happy, and healthy. For many pets with long fur, who would normally see a groomer every 6 to 8 weeks, things may be getting a little hairy. Here's our top 5 tips for safely grooming your pet at home and keeping them looking sharp. First is bathe and brush. The ASPCA recommends bathing your dog at least once every 3 months, but some may require more frequent baths if they spent a lot of time outdoors and have skin problems. Pups with loose facial skin or wrinkles such as Shar Pei's and Pug's will need special attention. To prevent dirt and bacteria from causing irritation and infection, clean the folds with a damp cloth. Always thoroughly dry the areas between the folds. Our feline friends are well equipped to tackle their own hair care needs, but if they get into something sticky or smelling, you may need to give them a bath. Regular grooming with a brush or comb will also help keep your pet's hair in good condition by removing dirt, spreading natural oils throughout her coat, preventing tangles, and keeping her skin clean and irritant-free. The way you brush your pet and how often will largely depend on his or her coat type. If your dog has a smooth, short coat like that of a Chihuahua, Boxer, or Basset Hound, you only need to brush once a week. Use a rubber brush to loosen dead skin and dirt and follow with a bristle brush to remove dead hair. Polish your low-maintenance pooch with a chamois cloth, and she's ready to shine. If your dog has short, dense fur that's prone to matting, like that of a retriever, brushing once a week is fine. Use a slicker brush to remove tangles and catch dead hair with a bristle brush. Don't forget to comb her tail. If your dog has a long, luxurious coat, such as that of a Yorkshire Terrier, daily attention is necessary. Every day you'll need to remove tangles with a slicker brush. Next, brush her coat with a bristle brush. If you have a long-haired dog with a coat like a Collie's or an Afghan Hound, follow the steps above, but also be sure to comb through the fur and trim the hair around the feet. For long-haired pooches, it's a good idea to set up a daily grooming routine to remove tangles and prevent mats. Gently tease out tangles with a slicker brush and then brush your pet with a bristle brush. If matting is particularly dense, you may try clipping the hair, taking care not to come near the skin. For kitties, one or two brushings per week will help keep kitties healthy glow, and you'll find that regular sessions are especially beneficial when your cat ages and is no longer able to groom so meticulously on her own. Next, trim, trim, trim. While it's safe to lightly trim your pet's hair, we advise that you never shave your pet. When trimming at home, trim dry, clean fur around the face, feet, and tail. Be very careful with your scissors, and when trimming around the ears, use your free hand to hold the ear to make sure you only trim the excess fur, not the ear. Next, pedicure. As a rule of thumb, a dog's nails should be trimmed when they just about touch the ground when they walk. If your pet's nails are clicking or getting snagged on the floor, it's time for a trim. A nail trimming every 10 days to 2 weeks is recommended for cats, and giving them something to scratch is recommended. If you do hit the quick while trimming at home, your dog will probably yelp and might even struggle. You want to apply a styptic powder or cornstarch to the bleeding nail tip, ASAP. Apply a little bit of pressure as you press the powder into the wound to make sure it sticks. If bleeding continues for more than a few minutes, please alert your veterinarian, who can check your dog for clotting disorders. It's important to check your pet's feet regularly, both dogs and cats, to make sure they're free of wounds, infections, or foreign objects that can become lodged. Eyes and ears. You'll want to regularly check your pet's eyes for any tearing, crust, cloudiness, or inflammation that may indicate a health problem. Face your pet in a brightly lit area and look into their eyes. They should be clear and bright, and the area around the eyeball should be white. The pupils should be equal in size, and there shouldn't be any tearing, discharge, or any crust in the corners of their eyes. Eye boogers. With your thumb, gently roll down your pet's lower eyelid and look at the lining. It should be pink, not red or white. A gentle wipe with a damp cloth ball will help keep your pet's eyes gunk-free. If your dog's inner ears appear dirty, clean them with a cotton ball or piece of gauze dampened with mineral oil, hydrogen peroxide, or a liquid ear cleaner specially formulated for this purpose. Fold your pet's ear back gently and wipe away any debris or earwax that you can see on the underside of his or her ear, and be sure to lift away the dirt and wax rather than rubbing it into the ear. Inner ear skin is delicate, so talk to your vet about best cleaning practices. For kitty ears, a healthy feline ear flap has a layer of hair on its outer surface with no bald spots, and its inner surface is clean and light pink. If you see any discharge, redness, or swelling, your cat's ears should be checked by a veterinarian. To check your cat's inner ear, bring them into a quiet room where there are no other pets. Gently fold back each ear and look down into the canal. Healthy inner ears will be pale pink in color, carry no debris or odor, and will have minimal, if no, earwax. If you find that your cat's ears are caked with wax or you detect an odor, please contact your vet for an exam. And skincare routine. The condition of your cat or dog's skin is an indication of her overall health. When a skin problem occurs, your pet may respond with excessive scratching, chewing, and/or licking. A wide range of causes, including external parasites and allergies to seasonal changes and stress, or a combination of these, may be to blame. Skin problems are one of the most common reasons pet parents seek veterinary care. You should always be mindful of your pet's skin and monitor if they are experiencing any symptoms. If you suspect that your pet is having some issues based on skin condition, eyes, or ears, contact your local veterinarian immediately. For in-depth tips and tricks on grooming your pets, see the full list for cats and for dogs on the ASPCA website at aspca.org. From Modern Cat Magazine, Catastrophe, five things people unwittingly do wrong when it comes to their cats. Are you making these five mistakes? We asked Michael Becker, a fear-free certified animal trainer, for the top five mistakes she sees people making with their pets. Here is her Nick's list for cats. Mistake one, feeding from a food bowl. The food bowl misses the mark when it comes to an awesome opportunity to challenge your cat's body and mind. Cats like to prowl, pounce, and hunt for their food. Mealtime is the ideal time to invoke your cat's inner lion or lioness. Rather than just mindlessly eating, challenge your cat to scout out, hunt down, capture, and ultimately enjoy portions of their meal in stages. To do this, feed from a food puzzle rather than from a bowl. Doing so will contribute to a more content, settled, easier to live with cat. Mistake number two. Free feeding or overfeeding. Over half of cats are overweight or obese. The extra pounds may appear harmless or even cute. More to love, right? Not so much. The extra pounds can shorten your cat's lifespan, as well as decrease your cat's quality of life during day-to-day activities. Extra pounds increase stress and pain on the joints, decrease mobility, and increase the risk of certain health conditions like diabetes. If you feel that food equals love, just remember that one study actually showed that cats were more affectionate with their humans when they were fed a moderately controlled diet versus an excessive amount of food. Free feeding also limits your ability to monitor your cat's health. Because cats are so adept at hiding illness, a diminished appetite may be one of the only outward signs that your cat isn't feeling well. Monitor your cat's food intake, and that is a vital way to keep tabs on how your feline feels, allowing for timely intervention with the cat's vet. A healthy appetite and adequate water consumption is especially important for cats, as they can suffer life-threatening kidney failure if food and water intake is limited. Mistake number three, assuming cats are independent and don't need extra attention. Cats are not the solitary creatures they're often portrayed to be. Many cats are actually very affectionate, sociable, and enjoy time with their humans and, in some cases, other animals. Cats can develop distress upon separation from their people and become very upset by a change in caregivers. For that reason, preparing your cat to calmly handle times of separation is important, as is keeping a consistent caregiver when you're away. More than merely feeding and scooping the litter box, make sure the caregiver also takes time to play with and pet your cat. Ensuring your cat has company while you are away lowers stress and helps your cat to pass the time and take your absence in stride. Even more withdrawn or shy cats appreciate a consistent caregiver and predictable schedule and routine for for visits, feeding, and litter scooping. Is your cat lonely? Mistake number four, forging regular veterinary checkups. Oh, I'm sorry, foregoing regular veterinary checkups. That's the mistake. Cats are expert at hiding illness and pain. Ongoing preventive veterinary care is a must-do for keeping cats healthy and happy and catching illness in the early stages. Timely intervention ultimately increases the chance of a positive prognosis and increased quality of life. Don't let your cat's fear keep you from taking your cat to the vet. Find tips for lowering vet visit stress at fearfreehappyhomes.com or look for a professional who will actively partner with you in your efforts to protect your cat's emotional well-being during the delivery of physical care. Mistake number five, believing that socialization efforts are important only for dogs. Cats are highly sociable, friendly, intelligent creatures who relish opportunities to learn. Humans often do kittens a disservice by not prioritizing happy early learning experiences in the same way as is done for puppies. Because far too few kittens are offered a positive exposure to a wide variety of people, other animals, and situations in the same way that puppies are, kittens are less likely to be as adaptable and calm in the face of varied situations encountered in the future. Early exposure paired with positive reinforcement and introduced at a pace the cat is comfortable with is helpful for creating a foundation of confidence the cat can lean on throughout life. Intentional exposure by foster families, rescues, breeders, or early adopters is important for offering the key early learning experiences that cats need. And speaking of cats, do you kiss your cat, or at least on the head? Come on, admit it, you know you do. But what does your cat think about that? CatHealth.com answers the question. Do cats like kisses? Does your cat like it when you kiss him? Some cats do seem to like or at least tolerate human kisses. If your cat leans in, purrs, and rubs his head on you when you kiss him, he probably understands that you're trying to show him affection. However, if your cat's ears go back, he begins to whip his tail back and moves away from you, hisses and swats at you, he doesn't want to be kissed. Kissing, the way humans understand it, isn't the way your cat will show he loves you, and it's probably not the absolute best way to show him you love him either. How do cats show love? Cats use body language to show their humans love. The slow eye blink is a big way for cats to say I love you. This is the equivalent of a human kiss, but it's done from across the room rather than with actual physical contact, like physical distancing. Head bumping is another way cats show affection, although it may knock your glasses off, give you a sore nose, or threaten to topple you off your feet. Depending on where on your body the bump is delivered, a feline head bump indicates love. Cats rub on you to show love. They have scent glands in their cheeks and lips, so rubbing on you is their way of marking you as their own. Guidelines for kissing cats. Most cats will allow a peck on the head from their beloved humans. However, some don't like it, and you should respect that. If your cat moves away from your kisses, puts his ears back, or hisses or swats at you, don't use kisses to show him you love him. Here are a few more things to know about kissing cats. Avoid kissing cats on the lips. This can be too much of an invasion of space for many cats. Also, cats can carry bacteria and parasites that are spread to humans through contact with their saliva. This is especially true of kittens, cats that aren't up to date on vaccines and parasite checks, and cats with dental problems. Don't kiss a cat you don't know well. Even if your own cat seems to love your kisses, other cats might not. A cat that doesn't know you might not tolerate such closeness from you, even though he might allow it from a human he knows well. Teach your child to avoid kissing cats. It's a good idea to teach your child the above rules for kissing cats, and it's probably good to have him or her avoid cat kissing altogether. Some cats may have less tolerance for children than they do for adults. And if the cat chooses to bite or scratch a child for kissing him, it's the child's face that will be the most likely target. If you'd like to show your cat you love him with or without human kisses, you can learn to do a kitty slow eye blink. Cats understand that this signifies affection, and they'll probably return the gesture. Well, that was fun. And now for the portion of the program I like to call Don't Eat That. But in this case, do eat this. 5 easy dog treats from Modern Pets, featured in Modern Dog Magazine. Indulge your dog's sweet tooth with these healthy treats. Since chocolate is bad for dogs, here are some suggested ways to indulge your dog's sweet tooth in a healthy manner. Yogurt. Add fresh yogurt to your dog's meal or make it a cool summer treat by following these directions. Cut thin slices from a banana and place one into each reservoir in an ice cube tray. Mix a 1/4 cup yogurt with 1/4 cup water and spoon over the banana slices. Freeze overnight and you've got a great sweet treat for your dog, best if served outside or on tile floors because of the mess. Yogurt is a great source of protein and calcium. Beets. Add a small amount of grated raw beets to your dog's food. Beets are a good source of folate, manganese, and potassium and are rich in flavonoids. Just be careful, these brightly colored vegetables can be messy too. Blueberries. Perfect as an easy dog treat, these small berries are rich in antioxidants and vitamin C, people food that dogs love too. Dehydrated sweet potatoes. Peel sweet potatoes and slice them thin, then dry them either in a food dehydrator or in your oven. Your dog will love this crunchy sweet treat, and it's a great source of vitamins A and C, manganese, and fiber. And watermelon. A cool slice of juicy watermelon can be a nice, easy treat for your dog. Watermelon is rich in vitamin C and lycopene. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks for listening. And please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment.